Time to talk some football as we're joined by our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Rich. What's happening? Happy New Year.
Why, thank you. Same to you, and happy belated birthday as well.
Thank you. I just hit the big 3-0. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I know, Rich, you deal with, that old age thing all the time. So, But, hey, 3-0 is a big deal, you know?
Did it bother you at all? Did you think about it? Because I don't remember 30 myself.
Yeah. No, it's good. I just, I think there have been instances lately where I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. It's a number. You feel as young as you feel. And I was just kidding, Rich. You look like you're 29. So.
Yes. I say that often with the lights off, looking in the bathroom mirror. Yeah, damn, I look good. Oh, wait, lights are on. Thank you very much. Well, perhaps the same could be said, and what a segue, for the Patriots, who looked awfully good in the dim light of playing the Buffalo Bills. Was that merely an illusion, though?
Yeah, it's tough to tell. I think it was really good to see the Patriots play. I know that it was the Bills and the Jets. It was the end of the season. It was at home and all that. It was good to see the offense just, get rolling a little bit. And I think, obviously, the Bills game, it was more the running game that got rolling. In the Jets game, it was more of the passing game getting going. So that was good to see. I think it's good for the Patriots to see it themselves too, because it's like basketball. If a guy is going 0 for 6 from the field and he sees the ball go through the hoop, it's usually going to keep doing that because he sees the ball go through the hoop. So the Patriots seeing the ball go into the end zone through the air, it's a good thing. So it was weak competition, but if you get things rolling going into the playoffs, that's a good thing, I think.
Well, and of course, they'll only have to play one playoff game on the road. Who do you think, as you look around at who's out there for playoff teams, what team poses the biggest challenge for them?
Ooh, that's tough. I think going on the road, if they had to go on the road and go to Kansas City to play in the AFC title game, which, could be the likely scenario if seeding holds up, then that's tough, because going to Arrowhead, the last memory we have of the Patriots at Arrowhead, they were getting stumped. And this was before Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and that dynamic offense they have. Say what you want about Andy Reid and his clock management, but going to Arrowhead is a daunting task. And with this team being 3-5 on the road during the regular season, you don't feel too good about it. So I guess your toughest opponent would be the road. But I guess looking at teams, there's a few dangerous ones, and the Ravens are never afraid to come here and play you, even though it's a different quarterback, it's the same coach, and that defense has played really well. And you could make a case for the Chargers have been road warriors, 7-1 on the road. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty gritty. So that's tough. I would like their chances against the Houston Texans. I know the Texans have looked better since that opener, and Deshaun Watson's a better quarterback than what they've had coming in here in the past, but you feel like you sort of have the mental edge over them. So I guess the Ravens and the Chargers would be tough opponents for different reasons.
What's the biggest concern fans ought to have about the Patriots heading into the playoffs?
Oh, boy. I think the defense has played really well, and I think the running game has been pretty good. I guess it's just getting that passing offense rolling. And that's kind of crazy to say when you have Tom Brady on the field, but I don't know what Tom Brady's been dealing with, and that Buffalo game was subpar, and he bounced back against the Jets, but the offense has been inconsistent this year. There's been flashes of good play. Before the Jets game, they went to Miami, and first half Brady looked like 29-year-old Rich Kimball Tom Brady, he looked like he was, rolling. It was like Fountain of Youth. And then after that, second half was meh. They go on the road to Pittsburgh, and it was meh. And the Buffalo game was meh. So the consistency in the offense through the air, I think, would be the biggest concern. And can Rob Gronkowski capture some of that old magic, too? And can he be a guy that's a big contributor and a guy that defenses have to really pay attention to. So I guess it's the passing offense, which is kind of crazy to say.
How important was it for a guy like Chris Hogan to get so involved in the offense last game?
It was good. It was good to see him involved, and it was good to see Philip Dorsett involved, especially after losing Josh Gordon. You're wondering, okay, you know, how do they make up for that production? Where do they go? And to spread the ball around, to see a guy like Hogan get open, to see a guy like Dorsett make a contribution, and he gets open, and even the running backs, even getting a James White or Rex Burkhead involved through the air, I think is a good thing. Just you have a lot of guys that can contribute. You just got to get them involved, and so you know that'll be up to Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady to get a lot of guys involved. But again, when you see things rolling like you did against the Jets, that's a good thing, I think.
On the defensive side, who's the most important Patriot right now?
Wow. That's a good question. I would say, because I think he's been the best defensive player they've had all year, I would say Stephon Gilmore. I think he's been an all-pro, I think. You know, he's a pro bowler, obviously, but he's really anchored what you've been doing in that secondary. And I think you have to lean on your secondary to play well here in the postseason. And I put it on him. I put some on Devin McCourty, who you're hoping will be back. He's been dealing with obviously he got a concussion in the Jets game, and so he's been trying to make his way back from that. The bye helps to have the 2 weeks to be able to recover from something like that. So, yeah, I would say the veteran guys in the secondary, but Stephon Gilmore has been fantastic this season. And so, you know, you lean on guys like that. And, hey, if the defensive line can give you some things, you know, then I think that can only add to what the secondary is trying to do.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. Well, it's that time of year again. Lots of openings in the NFL. Both Josh McDaniels and Brian Flores set to talk to folks. Who's the most likely of those two to land a head coaching job this offseason?
Of the two?
Yeah.
That's tough. I don't know, because, you know, Flores is getting a lot of attention here, and there's a lot of open jobs, so you might say naturally maybe it's Brian Flores, because McDaniels isn't getting as much attention as Flores is. But the job that McDaniels is interviewing for is really a headliner kind of job. I mean, interviewing to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers when Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, that'd be a pretty sweet gig for a guy like that. You wonder if he is the coach in waiting in Foxborough, though. And so maybe there's some – who knows? I guess I would say Flores, maybe, just because of the attention that he's getting and there's so many open jobs. But, hey, if the Packers offer Josh McDaniels a sweet deal and the Patriots can't match it, then maybe it's McDaniels. So I don't know. That's tough to say who's more likely, because I think both of them have, you know, their – scenarios and cases where they could leave.
Let's talk Red Sox for a moment here. David Robertson signed to a 2-year deal by the Philadelphia Phillies. So who is going to be the closer in Boston next year?
I don't know. You said you were feeling 29, Rich. Maybe you could go on the mound and do it. I don't know, really. I mean, I guess they're going by committee. You know, right now they're thinking maybe Barnes or Brazier and then go into the season that way. And if they have to add to the bullpen during the season at the trade deadline, that seems to be maybe what they're thinking right now, and or they're waiting for the market to cool, which is starting to cool, and maybe they do bring back Craig Kimbrel, which to me, I don't know, a long-term commitment for a guy in his 30s now that couldn't find the strike zone in the postseason. I don't know. I actually thought that Robertson might have a shot at landing in Boston, because he's a guy that makes his home actually in Rhode Island, go figure. And so thought he might stay in Boston, stay in the Northeast. He's kind of in the Northeast part of the country, you know, going with the Phillies. So I guess that you know, qualifies for the criteria. But, yeah, that would have been a good veteran guy to add there. You know, I wonder what they're going to add, because they've lost Joe Kelly. And so Craig Kimbrel's right now not on your roster. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this bullpen thing. They were able to make it work in the postseason, but, you know, you've lost some pieces now. So I don't know. I don't know where Dave Dombrowski's going to go. Maybe we find out here right before spring training as the market again cools off.
Despite my youthful appearance, I added many gray hairs this past off season. I've named them all after Craig Kimbrell. I don't want to see that again.
Yeah, I just a long-term commitment and a lot of money for a guy, again, who he struggled. He struggled in the postseason, not just the postseason, but the regular season, finding the strike zone. I mean, he's a heart attack. He's a heart attack out there, and he's had stretches. I think last season he had a stretch where he was really, really good. And when he's really, really good and he's on, he's finding the strike zone, that's a good thing. But you know, half the time in Boston, it's been a struggle. So if you love a guy like a, you know, I always thought, and I think they pay him enough money now where he's going to be in your starting rotation, but I always thought maybe you try to convince Nathan Eovaldi to be your closer.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, maybe you think outside the box, right? Like a guy that throws strikes and you know he can get it done out of the bullpen. So, but I think they're going to put him in the starting rotation, which you're okay with. Any way they want to use him, you know, use him. But that's what you want is a guy that consistently throws strikes. And so hopefully they go to a guy like that.
Well, we'll see what happens. Fun speculating about it as always. And Nick Coyd, great to talk with you. My friend, thanks for coming on with us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again soon.
Thank you, Rich. I just want to say before I go, I called the Brown Maine men's basketball game last night, and I was reminded of why I really enjoyed my time in Maine and enjoyed the people up there. It was great to see Coach Barron, see Jason Coleman, Ron Lisnett, all the great people from up there that are around the program. Yeah, really, really a treat to see all those people last night and root for the best for the Black Bear men's basketball program.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, thanks, Nick. We'll catch you soon.
Thanks, Rich.
Nick Coyd, ABC6 in Providence, the Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year, I might add.